Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Father in heaven, you have so wonderfully created us. You have so wonderfully redeemed us through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to help us always see how valuable we are in your eyes. Father, strengthen us now in the preaching of your word that we might always defend those who struggle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever thought about the creation of the world? That God spoke into existence everything there is. That God, who is spirit, spoke audible words, and things that weren't became things that are. That God just spoke and everything came into existence. Everything that was made had a purpose. Everything that was made was good. And everything that the Father spoke into existence, everything he created was ordered. And it had value. That's what happens when God speaks things into existence. They have value, they have purpose, they have order. And he loves them, every one. When God made Adam and Eve, it was no different. Well, it was a little different, I guess. When God made Adam and Eve in the garden, after he finished creating them, he said, "And this is very good. This is better than all the rest." And when God created Adam and Eve, they had purpose. They were there to help each other, to raise family and friends. They were given a family to raise. They had more value than any other created thing on the earth. They had value because they had an eternal soul that God had given to them. They had value, they had direction, they were given a purpose in life. And in all of that, God said, "This is very good." They were loved with an amazing love that God sent into the world to them. Even after they sinned, God didn't change. He didn't pull his love and mercy from them. He continued to love them even in their sin. Adam and Eve's life was much like ours. They had a birthday. Well, maybe we shouldn't say birthday. They had a creation day. And they had a last day. Because of sin, because of the brokenness that came into the world, their life ended. But God our Father loved them through their life, through their death, and raised them, or will raise them again on the last day. It's a great mystery when we look at the creation and we see just how God loves us, created us, but continues to love us even in our brokenness, continues to see us as valuable, continues to show his mercy to us, even when the world around us doesn't see us as valuable. Today in our text, the epistle reading, we have another mystery to consider. It's the mystery surrounding the profound unity that we have as Christians in the face of extraordinary diversity in our families, in our lives, in the people that we love. Unity in diversity. That's the mystery that St. Paul describes in 1 Corinthians when he sends this letter to the church in Corinth, giving them counsel so that they would continue to guard against all of the ideas that are out there that would pull them away from who they are in God's word. St. Paul reminds the Corinthian congregation of their unity in Christ. And he tells them to guard against the jealousies, the discords, the divisions that might spring up in their community, especially of those things that would spring up in their community that would pull them away from the gifts that God had given to them. He warned them to be weary of jealousy because someone has a gift and you think their gift is somehow better than yours. He warns them that they've all been given gifts in Christ. Some have been given the ability to speak in tongues. Some have been given the ability to be wise. Some have been given the ability to be teachers. But all of these gifts that St. Paul reminds them that they have, all of them have the same origin. They've all been given to them by God. They've all been given for order, and they've all been given to serve the common good. And to reinforce that theme of unity that Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians, he also reminds them that the unity we have can be used in the analogy of the body. The body is one body, but yet the body has all kinds of parts, earlobes and pinky fingers and right hands and all of these pieces, and they all work together for the good of not only the individual body, but the corporate body of Christ as well. A body is, of course, composed of many and various different parts, and indeed its health, its continued existence, depends upon the proper functioning of each of those different parts. How foolish it would be, Paul says, should these various parts fail to appreciate the unity that they all share, fail to appreciate how highly integrated they all are and must remain, and how foolish it would be if they fail to acknowledge either their own importance or the importance of all of the pieces of the body as they work together. Now, Paul reminds us, he said, yes, it's true, there are some parts of the body that are more visible than other parts. Some parts that seem to have greater honor. Some parts that function and they seem to be more important. But Paul reminds us that God is the great designer, and he has declared every single part of the body to be of equal importance, to be of equal worth, to be equally necessary for the functioning of the whole. And therefore, God will not tolerate any belittling of any of those parts. Paul writes to the Corinthians, but God combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Of course, this principle of unity does not apply to our individual physical bodies, and not just to the body we call the church, but it applies to the community that we live in. Here too, God the Creator is insistent that there are no members of the family, no members of society that are considered to be less than others, that can simply be dispensed with, as though they weren't a part of the whole. Sadly, though, in our American culture, in this American community that we live in, many think that people are dispensable, that you can grow out of your worth, or you haven't worth until you become a functioning member of society. Oftentimes, they think people who are not yet born, or someone who has gotten old, or someone who has a disability or an inability to work, or they're no longer visible because they're not out in the community, they are no longer valuable and they can be disposed of. For many of those who have not yet become sufficiently useful to the community, or who have ceased to be useful as they once were, are now frequently thought of as being dispensable. Just like you would throw something away, so many think we can throw away a life. Indeed, their view of these disabled ones, these dependent ones, is something that could be associated with abortion or euthanasia, something to take away the burden that they might put on the rest of society. That's the verdict from those who think that someone is out of sight, out of mind. If we just put the problem away, if we just deal with the problem, then we don't have to think about it anymore. And so it is with abortion and euthanasia and those who are struggling with physical disabilities, out of sight, out of mind, end their life, end the problem. It's a good thing God doesn't think about us that way. Our Lord doesn't look at what we can or can't do. He doesn't look at us and judge us by the value of what we can produce in society. He looks at us as his sons, his daughters, his loved and created beings. And you have value because of that. And that alone is enough. Our Lord doesn't make judgments like the world does. If a disability or something disables you, the world would cast you aside and move on. And our Lord says to us that these parts, these broken parts, are even more valuable than the rest. Paul writes in Corinthians, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are in fact indispensable and are to be treated with special honor so that there should be no division in the body. There you have it, all of those things that the world around us would look at and say would disqualify us from having any value. Our Lord says, no, those things don't disqualify you at all. Those things, in fact, make you more valuable. Obscurity and weakness and dependency are not characteristics that would disqualify us from God's love. In fact, they are the very characteristics that God looks at us and says, you are more valuable, in more need of love and protection. What a great mystery that the world looks at us and says that if you have no value, you have no worth, and God looks at us and says, your value is not dependent on your worth. Your value is dependent because he created you, and he redeemed you through Jesus on the cross. He put that sign of the cross both upon the forehead and upon the heart, reminding you that you are his dear child no matter what the world says, no matter how your health holds up, no matter how productive in society you are or not. Your eternal value was given to you by our Father in heaven when he created you, when he loved you, brought you into existence, and gave you the promise that he would be with you always. But that is indeed what God has declared, that we are valuable because he has made us that way and promises to be with us always. The young, the old, the weak, the strong, the seen or the unseen, all have eternal value because our Lord has lovingly created you. He has made your body and all of its members that may work together or may not. And he has loved you and promise to love you to the end, and then raise your body, and on that great day, all of our bodies will work like they're supposed to. All of the parts will be working and not hurt. God will restore to us a body that was just like Adam and Eve before sin came into the world, to live eternally with him, forgiven and loved. On this Sunday, especially on Sanctity of Life Sunday, we remember the harsh world that we live in, a world that would kill a baby out of ease, a world that would put the nursing homes or put people in nursing homes and forget about them and even move to end their life, a world that would cast us aside because we're not productive enough. It's a scary thought, the world we live in. But our Father, who has overcome the world, has promised us, promised you, that you have value no matter what your body does. You have value no matter what the world says. You have value no matter what goes on in your world. You are redeemed by Christ, and you are his. Dear saints, as we remember this day all of those who have died from abortion, we know that our Lord is gracious, that our Lord has taken those little ones to be with him. We know that our Lord has overcome sin and death, and he will continue to reign in our world, and he will continue to love those little ones and those discarded by society. And he will continue to uphold you as you love your neighbor, from the littlest to the oldest, and all of those in between. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.